Good morning. How are you doing this morning? Mixed reviews. Okay. We're doing all right. Hey, it's so good to be here. You can grab your seat. That's kind of you. It's good to be here. I was talking with Mom about this, and I don't even know the last time I was actually here on a Sunday. So cool deal, huh? Good to be back and see so many friends and people that we've done a lot of life with. And, thanks for loving Mom so good. I appreciate that as her son, and I'm not living here. It's good to know that the church is here just loving the heck out of her. We like that. My family today says hello. They're all the way in California at church. They're at church and doing their thing, and Desiree, my sons Xavier and Zion, they're not what most of you probably remember them as. They are now giants and trying to bully me in my own house. What is that about? That's not okay. It's not okay, and so... we have to put them in their place every so often, but they're doing good. Family's good, and I just am so excited to be here and see so many of you, and it's going to be a good day, yeah? How good was worship, huh? Thankful for your worship team. It's cool for me, and I'm just going to take my own liberties if that's all right. It's cool to see Lucas up there leading, man. It's so great, bro. So proud of you, man. How awesome. And hey, Charity, how are you? Good to see you. Sorry, we're just having a family moment. Forgive me. Good to see you guys. You guys ready to rock and roll? Is that all right? Can we pray? We're going to pray after we read this passage of scripture. We're going to spend pretty much our whole time together based off of this passage of scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 3:18, if you have your Bibles. I'll be reading, I believe, out of the New King James Version, if that's all right with you. Even if it's not, that's what I'm going to do. 2 Corinthians 3:18, when you're there, say I'm there. All right, enough of you are there, so we're going to go for it. That's what it says. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. All of us are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. Lord, we declare as a people, this is your house. Lord, we welcome you. We welcome your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your presence. Lord, we've come here to worship you, to honor you, and to love you. Lord, we've come here to be in your presence. Wonderful Holy Spirit, author, giver of life, you are the treasury of all good gifts and all good things. From your heart flows every single thing that we need. And so today, Lord, we see you as the Lord, and you see our hearts so clear. We ask that you'd come, supply for every need that we have, emotionally, physically, financially, mentally, relationally. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do in the time that we share. Lord, teach us now by your word and through your Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. I was just talking to Howard over here, and I've now come to the conclusion that I'm an adult, whether I would like to be or not. And here we are. Like, I got to be an adult now. And I don't know if, well, maybe you understand this too, but I've found out that with being an adult comes a list. Oh my gosh, yeah, a list, terrible. And I think that this list is often unspoken, it's unseen, unwritten. If we're honest, it's often not very realistic, but sure enough, I believe that it's there. Some of the lists that I deal with in my life would be like this. I feel like there's a list and there's a check things that I have to do, and part of that is I gotta try to be strong, but I also need to be sensitive. Or I need to be a provider, but hey, don't work too much. I need to lead with confidence, but don't be controlling. Fix everything, but don't make it look like you're trying too hard. be an athletic freak of nature, but also be emotionally available. Build a business, but also call your sister back. Budget better, but schedule the vacation. Sleep more, but also wake up earlier. Scroll less, read more books, eat more greens, and for God's sake, change the oil in your car. It's a list. Now, your list might look a whole heck of a lot different than mine. And that's okay. But we all got this list of who we need to become, who we need to be, what do we need to be doing. And if I was being honest today, oftentimes I feel like in my life I've been chasing a version of myself that will always be just out of reach. Felt that way? It's just always outside of our reach. And it can feel like all eyes are on me and my family. All eyes are on me in the community that I'm in to be everything all at once. So what do I do? What do? We grind a little more. We hustle a little more. We do a little bit more. We try to climb a little bit higher. Another podcast, another promise, another loan. Do what we gotta do to be who we think we're supposed to be. And it's this list. But here's the truth. I do not become new by focusing on the old me. I don't change by staring at myself harder, by looking at my flaws harder. We don't break chains by flexing a little bit harder. Real transformation does not happen when we try harder. Real transformation happens when we look just a little bit higher. And I found in my life that real transformation happens and is found in what I behold. Proverbs 23:7 says this if you're taking notes. It says, For as he thinks, or as a person thinks in their heart, so is he. This is a profound truth that I have to ask myself when I wake up, what is my heart fixed on today? What is my heart fixed on? Every person that walked in this room today, your heart has been captivated and fixed on something. Now, if we were just going to get out of our religiosity this morning, we would know that sometimes our heart is fixed on all sorts of stuff that has nothing to do with who we are in Christ. Maybe you walked in today or this week, your heart's been fixed on worry or fear or anxiety or not measuring up or yesterday's failure or just not quite being who you thought you'd be. It's just out of grasp in our heart. That is the image that we bear. What has your heart been fixed on? What a question to ask. And only you can answer that question, man. I can't answer it for you. Each and every one of us has something. But this is the reality, is what I fix my heart on becomes who I am. I mean, if I would change what my heart, what my eyes are fixed on, is it possible that my life really could change? And just by the look at some of our faces this morning, you don't think so. If I could just change what my eyes are fixed on, if I could just change what my heart is fixed on, could it be that my life really could change? That I just wouldn't post about change? I wouldn't just talk about change? I wouldn't just make a resolution, but could I really experience change? The truth is this, we become what we behold. To overcome lust, we don't do that by beholding lust. We don't overcome pride by beholding pride. We don't overcome shame by beholding shame. We don't become the person we were born to be by beholding the person that we're currently not. We become the image that we behold. Oh man, we were talking about it. And in my early days, especially in ministry, I really thought this was true. And maybe it sounds good, but I used to think that life in Jesus was all about what I was doing. That's what it was about. Stay busy, do more. How much good can you do? Look at what I'm doing. Life in Christ is about what I'm doing. And that sounds great, but it's totally false. I got a little bit older, and I thought a lot smarter. When I was 20, I was smart. I was mad smart. But then I was in my 30s, and aha, I know what it is now. Life in Christ is not about what I'm doing. Life in Christ is about who I'm becoming. And that sounds so good too, and there's a lot of truth to that. But now in this time in my life, I have come to know that all along, it's been about who I am beholding. That's what life in Christ is all about, is who I'm beholding. I'm convinced more than ever that whatever you need today is found in Jesus. I'm convinced what your family needs today, whatever that might be, is found in the person of Jesus. Maybe you came in this room and you've been in turmoil and constant attack in your mind and your heart, your emotions, your thoughts. I'm convinced today that whatever you need is found in Jesus. I'm convinced that whatever I need, that wasn't found in doing more and trying harder. No, it was found in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh man, I've been on worship teams. They did so good today. And I found that I can be singing songs but not be holding Jesus. Been there before? Singing a song. Oh man, what in the world are we going to have for lunch? Vacation is only 6 days away. When I get home, I'm going to have to talk to my son. When I get to work, I have this problem, but I'm here and I'm singing a song, but I can be singing but not be holding Jesus. We just gave an offering, and I can be giving but not be holding Jesus. And I can be serving, which is a good thing, but I could be serving and not be holding Jesus. I could be leading a ministry but not be holding Jesus. I could be pastoring and not be holding Jesus. Beholding him is where transformation begins. It begins there. It all starts where my heart is focused, where my eyes are focused. The first thing I want to point our attention to today is this, is that beholding starts with attention. Attention. Oh boy. It starts with attention. And there are so many things, man, that are wanting your attention today. You guys got it over here, okay? There's a lot of stuff that wants our attention. I mean, my family needs my attention. I mean, I got kids that think they're going to drive. Like, they need my attention. Like, there's so many things vying for my attention. You don't believe me? How about this? How about culture wants your attention? You can just figure that out by taking a stroll on social media politely. It wants your attention. It wants your eyes. It wants your heart. Politics wants your eyes. They want your heart. It wants to be the image that you bear, that you look at, that you fix your eyes on. I'm convinced that there's never been a political solution to a spiritual problem ever. Ever. And what we're finding now in our world is that some of us that were praying so much last year for God to do something in our country, we're a little bit more quiet this time of year because it's proof that for some of us, our real king and our real hope sits on a throne in Washington. But I'm convinced that Jesus is the hope of the world. It's not found in any politician. It's not found in a certain party. Our hope is found in Jesus alone. And that needs to be the image that my eyes keep centered in my heart. That needs to be the focus of my life. Amen. Amen. So many things want our attention, are vying for our attention. I mean, I don't even really want to get real caught up in this, but many times our attention is caught up in me, in my opinions, what I think this says, what I think they should do, how I think this should work. It's caught up in me. I mean, so many times I've been drunk off my own opinion, thoughts, and ideas. My attention is on me, myself, and I have my attention. But beholding starts with attention. Hebrews 12:2 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says here, the first line, fixing our eyes in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. I want to encourage us today that fixing our eyes is different than having a casual look at him on the weekend. It's different than having a casual look at him in our marriages. It's different than taking a casual stroll and a casual look at him when we're raising our children. Scripture tells us what? Not to casually look at Jesus, but to fix our eyes. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Behold him. What does that mean? It means to be sure to see. Be sure to see. No matter what's happening in life, to fix my eyes on Jesus, to behold Jesus means to be sure to see him. We see all sorts of stuff all week long, and it's important for us to be sure to see him. And what we find in the Holy Scriptures time and time again is that it is never Jesus' fault for me not to see him. But how many times do I blame that on the Christ? It was never Jesus' fault to not be seen. But over and over in Scripture, we find that people did whatever they had to do to see him. And so many times in my life, it's like I'm expecting him to do it for me. No, my friend. Beholding starts with my attention. Attention is like the gasoline of the Christian life. I mean, you'd be shocked at what would happen if you gave Jesus just 60 seconds of your undivided attention each day? To focus our eyes, to fix our eyes, to be sure to see Jesus. Yeah, I'm a Jesus guy, so we're going to talk about Jesus today. Like, to be sure to see Jesus. Not to be sure to see church. Church is great, but to be sure to see Jesus. Not to be sure to see our favorite Christian celebrity. No. Be sure to see Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It's about putting my attention on him. Beholding Jesus is to look to him and listen to him. Beholding Jesus sets our minds on things that are above. Beholding Jesus means that now your eyes are set on him. Let's be honest today. If he doesn't speak, then what is there to listen to? If Jesus doesn't speak, then what is there to talk about? If he's not in the room, why would we gather? If he's not glorified, then why should we sing? There is nothing to say if Jesus is not the topic. It's about Jesus. So Jesus, may he be the focus of our gatherings. May Jesus be the focus of our worship. May Jesus be the focus of our sermons. May Jesus be the focus of our programs. May Jesus be the focus of our mission. May Jesus be honored in all that we do. Beholding is me choosing to set my attention and my affection away from myself. And I cross over into beholding when I detach from me and look upwards. Psalm 143:6 says this, I lift up my soul being mind, will, and emotions. Beholding Jesus is the subjectivity of the soul to him. Beholding Jesus is me bowing my heart down to him. And how does this create life change? Because now my attention is on Jesus and everything can change. Our opening scripture said, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Beholding starts with attention. But now number two, beholding deepens our love. Deepens our love. Psalm 17:15 says this, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. When we behold Jesus, we get caught up in his beauty when we give him our attention. And I'm not talking about physical beauty. We're talking about he is the true fulfillment of our spirit. He alone satisfies. He completes us entirely. He is fully equipped. He is beautiful in every way. I'm convinced that when we behold him, we give him our attention, that we will love him more today than we did yesterday. I'm convinced that loving Jesus is actually the greatest opportunity of your life. It's the greatest opportunity you could ever have. Loving Jesus is the greatest thing you can do with your life. Loving Jesus is the greatest legacy that you could leave in your life. Loving Jesus will make you a better man, a better woman, a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better person, make you a better human being by loving Jesus. Convinced? I'm convinced. I mean, what is all this for if it's not for Jesus? What are we doing if this is not for Jesus? I mean, we got to get back to who this is really all about. This is not about me. Friend, I love you, but this ain't about you either. This has always been about Jesus and will never stop being about Jesus. What a waste to pursue what religion has to offer and miss Jesus. What a waste. There's only one hope for me. There's only one hope for you. There's only one hope for our country and our world. There's one confident answer for every single thing that we face. Jesus is more than enough. In your Christianity, Jesus is the actual prize. There's not something extra at the end of the rainbow, a pot of gold. There's Jesus Christ is actually your prize. Jesus is actually the goal of your Christianity. No, it's not to accumulate more things. It's not to do more things. Jesus is the prize. Jesus is the goal. Jesus is the treasure that the Lord wants to give you. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We know this is true because God the Father had one sermon for the world, and his name is Jesus. Amen. It wasn't Jesus plus a little of this. No, it was Jesus. He is the reward of your Christianity. Amen. Just as Abraham said that you have become my exceedingly great reward. When did we allow this lie to come into our churches that there's something else plus Jesus? It's always been about him. It will always be about him. It will never stop being about him. Check this out. There are thousands of commands in Scripture. Thousands. There's a lot. A lot of them have a lot of great detail. There's a lot of requirements. You read your Bible before? Like wow, that's really direct requirements that the Lord put out there. Like, this is direct. I want you just take a look at this. There are a lot of commands, hundreds, thousands. Matthew 22:37-38, this is Jesus speaking. I'm convinced that when it says Jesus replied, we really got to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. In Matthew 22:37, he says this, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is interesting, breathtaking to think that out of everything God could have chosen that he would want to require from me, it's clear in Matthew 22 that he desires our love most. That's what he wants from you most, is your love. It leads me to believe that Jesus wants to be loved more than he wants me to do something for him. The greatest thing that you can do with your life is to love Jesus. It's what he wants most. Like, well, hey, Mark, don't I need to do more than just love him? Shouldn't I be loving others? Sure. Should I be helping mankind? Sure. What about my dreams? Sure. But if you love Christ, if you love Jesus, you can't help but do other things. I would encourage us to prioritize giving him attention and love. And everything in our life should flow from our love for Jesus. It shouldn't flow from Mark's opinion. It shouldn't flow from Mark's experience. It should flow from my deep love for him. A love for Jesus is the source for serving him. Loving him, we saw it here. Loving Jesus is his greatest desire. Not only his greatest desire, he said the greatest commandment. Don't you think it should be our greatest pursuit then? We can do all the other stuff, but don't you think we should give him what he really wants? Sometimes I've made it like my thing to give him something he didn't ask for. This happens sometimes in families, right? Like we get, sometimes my kids, when they were young, they'd give me gifts on my birthday that were nice, but I was like, what about me makes you think that I would need something like this? Or from other family members, I got a really awesome gift one time. I got a battery holding pack for Christmas. What about you and me makes you think that I would need a battery holding pack? And we do this in church all the time. We do something and we say, this is what Jesus wants. This is what he really desires. But you know what he wants most? Instead of giving him what we think he wants, you know, it's possible to give him what he actually desires. Anybody in here today? It's possible. This is not some hard to figure out thing. We have to hold 1,000 meetings to figure out what does Jesus want. He told you. He wants your love. In our services, he wants to be loved. He wants to be welcomed. He wants to be honored. That doesn't take a lot to figure out. He says it for us right here. Check this out. It says this. That is, we said beholding, it starts with attention. Then it goes to beholding deepens our love. Last but not least, this is the last one, is beholding is rewarded. Is rewarded. My kids growing up were in it for the reward. I can do just about anything as long as there's a present at the end of this. Right? I can get you to go to the dentist as long as we get a present afterward. What is that? Maybe ice cream? I don't know. Maybe a toy. But I'm telling you today, if you're on the fence, there is a reward when you behold Jesus. Let's use the term we like to. There is a blessing in beholding Jesus. Now everyone's like, finally to the thing I was waiting for. Where are the blessings? We'll get there. We'll get there. This is crazy because now our attention's on him. Now we're loving him. We're not chasing a better version of ourselves. We're actually seeking the seeker who is Jesus. If you desire to really see Jesus and you're searching for him, friend, you are in a beautiful place and you're looking at the greatest privilege of your life. I have news for you today. If you are seeking money on that journey into Jesus, you will not find him. If you're seeking success on that journey into Jesus, you will not find him. If you're seeking opportunities on that journey into Jesus, you will not find him. Even if you are seeking spirituality on that journey into Jesus, you will not find him. If you seek influence on that journey into Jesus, you will not find him. If you simply seek church attendance, you probably won't find him. But if Jesus is what you want, then he will be yours. Matthew 7:7, he says, seek and you will find. If you're after Jesus today, no matter what your past looks like, no matter what the present looks like, if you're after Jesus, if you're seeking Jesus, if your attention is on Jesus, if you're loving Jesus, his promise to you is, I will be yours. And that is something to get real happy about. I will be yours. Matthew 5:3 says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit? Who? Who are the poor in spirit? Every single person in this room. Poor in spirit without Christ. Poor. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if I'm poor in spirit, he says, blessed are the poor, and they will receive the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is not a concept. It's not the latest book drop. It's not the newest podcast. The kingdom of heaven is not a concept. It is the presence of the King. Scripture tells us this, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's that sound like? It sounds like people that are having their attention on him, that are diligently loving him. Scripture says that he rewards those that diligently seek him. Well, what is the reward? Blessings. So then if I just give my attention to Jesus and I love him, then he's going to give me all the stuff that I need and I want. Will there be blessings on the road like that? Perhaps. But you know what he wants to bless you with? What he's talking about here? What does he reward me with when I diligently seek him? Not a Bentley or a Bugatti. Not a new mansion down the street or this multi-million-dollar business that I want to build or national fame and notoriety. No. What is the reward he's talking about? We seek Jesus and he rewards us with himself. He rewards you with himself. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a ministry family. It doesn't matter if your parents grew up in church, or maybe you grew up in an atheist. It doesn't matter where you came from. You seek Jesus. You love Jesus. You diligently go after him. And what's he going to reward you with, no matter where you've been? With more of himself. Facts. Beholding starts with attention. It deepens my love and my need and my understanding that I need him. But then that beholding is rewarded with more of him. An encounter with his hand always is to lead you to his heart. He always wants you to journey deeper into his heart. He wants you to know him greatly. He wants you, we found out, he wants you to love him deeply. This is not just sermons and stuff we throw out. No, this is Bible. He wants you to know him. We're all people at best. If we focus our attention on a man or a woman, they will let you down because they are people. But what do we love to do as humans? To lift them up a little bit higher and place them on pedestals they were never built to stand on. A place where only Jesus is supposed to stand in the center of our heart and our lives. As we behold him, we're changed from glory to glory. That means Mark is always changing. He's always a little bit less like he used to be. He's more like the person Jesus made him be. Why? Because his attention is now on him. His love is on him. And now he's being rewarded with the presence of the King. So I don't know everybody in this room. Don't know what you're facing right now. But I'm here this weekend to plead with you, to encourage you to behold Jesus. I don't need you to be like me. We surely don't need another me running around. But I have come here to encourage you, what would it look like in your life to actually give the Lord your attention? to get your mind out of social media, to get your mind out of the news, to get your mind out of the swirl and the noise of our world right now, and give our attention to Jesus. I just want to throw it out there. How many of us have had the news on cycle 24/7? And we've given the news our heart and our attention. So that's been our reward. Huh? I don't know why I'm so anxious. Well, you kind of get our reward. I just feel like I can't think straight. Well, all you're doing is arguing in the comment section, man. Get out of the noise and give the Lord your attention. You will be surprised by how he would bless you. Oh, he's going to bless you with the fullness of himself. When Jesus shows up, he doesn't show up in a percentage. When he comes in the room, he is all the way there, the fullness of himself. So sometimes in our lives, we're like, God, I just need a lot more peace. No, you don't. You need a lot more Jesus, because Jesus is peace. I just need a lot more strength. You're right, you do, but you don't need strength. You need more Jesus. I just don't have a lot of hope. I need more hope. You don't need more hope. You need more Jesus. I just need a little more grace from people. No, you need a lot more Jesus in your life. He'll come in the fullness of who he is. He is peace. He is strength. He is hope. He is mercy. He is grace. He is love. He is understanding. He is wisdom. He is the answer to everything, man. Everything. 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 But when did I start making it about something else? We let so many things weave its way into our life in Christ. That's not Jesus. That's my opinion. That's what I like. That's what I want to do. Those are my desires. Those are my want-tos. Those are my dreams. I just really need God to make my dreams happen. You already got the dream he wanted for you. His name is Jesus. That is the dream that has been completed for you. And he's going to show up in the fullness in your life. I need to be more patient with my family. You need more Jesus, man. Holidays is coming up. There's going to be a lot of conversation. I need more understanding. No, you need more Jesus. Fix your eyes. Give your attention. Give him your love. Deepen your love for him. And watch him reward you with himself. I don't need a bigger paycheck. I need more Jesus. I need more of him. I don't need to get that new job. It might be great for you. If I got it, the Lord gave it to me, fantastic. And will God do that for you? Absolutely. But we like to make it different. That if I seek things, then he'll give it to me because I'm a child of God. We got it backwards, man. We seek Jesus, and he supplies for all of our needs. We seek him. That is not, you're like, that sounds really extreme. That sounds like a lot. That sounds like that's so much. That's so different. That's extreme. No, that is Bible. That is the Christian life. That's the Christian life that I said yes to. God, forgive me for making it about something else. It's been about you. What have I been giving my eyes to, my attention to, that is lesser than him? I've been starting my days like this recently. Lord, help me to keep my eyes on you above everything. Lord, help me to follow you. You're my shepherd. My desires aren't my shepherd. My opinion isn't my shepherd. My dreams, they're not my shepherd. You are my shepherd. Where you lead, I will follow. Let my answer be, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. If it's difficult,
Yes, Lord Jesus. If it's hard, yes, Lord Jesus. If this is what you would have me do, let my answer be yes. I don't want it my way. I want it your way. I want to follow you. Lord, help me to be not just aware of your presence like Judas, but help me to value your presence like the others. I want to be aware, acknowledge, and value you. Lord, help me to keep my eyes on you above the waves. The waves around me of culture, the waves of opinion, the waves of everything. But Lord, also help me to keep my eyes on you above the waves that rise even from within. Help me to give you my eyes. You deserve my attention. You deserve my love. You deserve my devotion. And Lord, in the world we live in, Lord, help me to guard my heart in the days we live. Do not let my heart become hardened. Lord, help me to have the right view of you, but also, if I have the right view of you, is it possible I could have the right view of others? Because just like you did, you came to your knees and washed the feet of others. Lord, help me not to wash the feet of my opinions. Help me not to wash the feet of my ideas. Help me not to wash the feet of what I want. But Lord, let me see people like you do. Let me see the image of Jesus in everybody I see. Lord, give me mercy for the needs that are in front of me. Give me mercy for the people that are in front of me. Give me mercy like you had. Give me mercy. Give me mercy for them. Let me give you my attention. Be sure to see him. Be sure. I want to give you my eyes. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my love, my devotion. Lord, help me love people enough to get down on my knees and cry with them when they cry. Our world is hurting. And this is not secluded to one event. There's many things that have been happening the last 3 or 4 months that have bound people with fear, anxiety, giving them sleepless nights. What a shame it would be for me to use this time to shout my opinion from the rooftop instead of get on my knees and serve people. Jesus didn't die for my opinion. So friend, be sure to see him. Be sure to see Jesus in the crowd. Be sure to see Jesus in the valley. Be sure to see Jesus on the mountain. Be sure to see Jesus in victory. Be sure to see Jesus in loss. Be sure to see Jesus in joy. Be sure to see Jesus in pain. Be sure to see Jesus in heartache. Be sure to see Jesus in weakness, but also be sure to see Jesus in strength. In highs and lows, be sure to see him. In every season, be sure to see Jesus. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Be sure. I want to be sure. I want to be sure to see you. And maybe you're in this room. Or maybe even watching right now online. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. Did you know you could? Did you know you should? Or maybe at one time in your life you were following him. He had your attention. He had your love. He had your life. But for one reason or another, you've been off doing your own thing. Living for your own opinion. Living for your own desires. Your own reasoning. And today, as we've been worshiping, and today, as we've been focusing our attention on Jesus during this message, you just know in your heart, I'm just not right with God. I'm just not right with him. In just a moment, we're going to pray. But if I'm talking to you today on any level, I want to pray with you. In a moment, I'll count to three, and I'm going to invite you to raise your hand and say, hey, Mark, that's me. I want you to pray with me. We're going to pray a prayer. It starts with that. It's a simple prayer of placing our hope and our trust, our faith in Jesus. But it's God's desire is that the decision doesn't stop there. that now our life begins to change. We move our life into a new direction, a life that's pointed to and centered on Jesus, that's moving in his direction, that's moving towards him, that's moving closer to his heart, that's becoming more like him. It's possible to step closer to him and become more like him. You won't be perfect, but he's promised his presence to you on the way. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. That he'll stick close to you like family. Today, if you say, Mark, I want to get things right between me and God. I want to accept Jesus today as my Lord, as my Savior. I want to accept him into my life. If that's you today, when I count to three, would you just lift your hand so I can see who I'm praying with? One, two, three. God bless you. We see your hand and yours as well. God bless you and yours as well. Anybody else said, Mark, would you include me in that prayer? I see the three of you. I see the fourth one over there too. God bless you, bro. God bless you. Maybe you're raising your hand online. That's cool too. Lord sees you right where you're at. I see the four of you today. If your hands are still up, you can lower them. Keep your head bowed and your eye closed. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask everyone in this room to repeat this prayer after me. Even if today's your first time saying a prayer like this, or maybe you prayed this prayer, one like it, over 1,000 times, wherever you're at today, we're going to say it together just out of a sign of support to those four people that are saying yes to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Church, would you pray this prayer with me today? Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, church, join with me. Say, Lord Jesus. I want to get things right. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me, to suffer for me, for my sins, my past, the things I can never change. Lord, I accept your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, all of who you are into my life. Lord, thank you for raising your son so I could have a relationship with you. So God, I want to know you, and not just a religion. So teach me how to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church. We clap for those four people. Say that prayer today. Amen. Amen. Pastor Colin's going to come. And he's going to give you your next steps.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.